Okay, we continue now. Gemara Kedushin 31b, Lamed Aleph on Beis, near the bottom, three lines from the bottom. Three lines from the bottom. Now we're going to get into the details of what honoring your father and mother is, and what does revering and fearing your father and mother means. Okay, there's two separate mitzvahs here. Okay, so what do they entail? Tana Rabbana, we learn in the Braisa, Ezel Mora, what is considered Mora, reverence for one's parents? Ezel Kibud, and what is called honoring one's parents? The answer is Mora, reverence means La Omeid Bimkomo. Number one, you don't stand in your father's place. In other words, if he has a particular place where he stands, let's say in shul, specific place, wherever he has a specific place where he stands, you can't be there. Velo Yoshev Bimkomo, you can't sit in his place. For example, let's say the dining room table. Some fathers have a specific seat that's over there, or in the kitchen table, right? Wherever it is. If, let's say, even if this child isn't going to be eating there, let's say during meal at any time, they shouldn't be sitting there unless they have your permission. That's halacha. So if you have a specific place and your child, well, let's say the dining room table on Shabbos, you have a specific spot, and then during the week your kid wants to do homework at the dining room table and to sit in your place, they have to ask you permission to use that spot if that is your designated space. That shows your reverence for them. Also, below Soser Estevarov, you don't contradict your father's words. Now again, this is only in front of your father. And also, velo machriyimo, and you don't give her any opinion, even to agree with what your father says. Let's see what the notes have to add over here. Okay. This is prohibited only in the father's presence. Even in that situation, a son is permitted to enter into discussion with his father, during which he may offer challenges to his father's position until a conclusion is reached. In other words, if you're arguing, let's say in Gemara, You can give a different logical opinion to an idea in Gemara. Your father says, well, I think this is the right halacha. You can say, well, all due respect, Dad, I have different proofs and I would think, and you can debate that. That's not a problem. More what contradicting means, you know, the father says, you know, yeah, I think, you know, family should do this. I guess, no, I think the family should do that. You know, when your opinion wasn't asked for, I think that's also part of the issue. So that's contradicting. Let's see, although the Braisa mentioned only that the son is prohibited from contradicting an opinion in Torah that his father expressed, he's also prohibited from contradicting other statements not related to Torah that were made by his father. Now, the other thing is, if one's father and another sage disagreed about the proper decision, legal issue, the son may not express an opinion on the matter in his father's presence at all. Even if he agrees with his father, because the very fact of weighing his father's opinion with that of the other sage is disrespectful. However, if the son has an irrefutable proof, he may state it because the Torah law, not he, decide the issue. So in other words, if you really know the halacha and your father doesn't, we'll see in a moment, there's a respectful way to bring it up. But, you know, you don't say, you know, Dad, you're wrong. Those kinds of words never should come out of your mouth. Or, Dad, I agree with you. Okay? Because, you know, you can't put yourself on your father's level. And you don't want to even assume that, you know, your father's, you know, your decision is what's going to make a difference in the debate. Now, of course, you know, if you're learning Torah with your father, you're learning Gemara, and during the course of the learning, there'll be different ways of looking at it. You know, that's always part of the spirited debate of Torah. But the idea is, you know, you don't show that you're equal to your father, that your father needs your opinion, needs that. There's respectful ways of saying, says, Dad, is, Can I make a suggestion? Then the father could say, no. then that's it. You know, let's say you guys are going to decide to go on a family vacation. And the father says, okay, we're going to Niagara Falls today. You can say, no, I'm not going. I don't want to go. We shouldn't go to Niagara Falls. We should go there. And then ask your opinion. If the kid says, Dad, can I give an opinion? Is it okay if I give an opinion? So the father says, yes, then he's being mochel on his honor, which he's allowed to do. But as we find quite often in the modern age, children feel they're equal to their parents, and part of that shows in how you contradict them and you say, or they agree, they need agreement, none of that. So this is showing reverence. So reverence really is like losases. They're negatives. Don't do the following, because doing so will show a lack of reverence. On the other hand, we're going to now discuss honor. Honor is more positive activities you do to show that you honor your parents. Kibud, what's honoring? Ma'achil u'mashke. You got to give them food, you got to give them drink. If your father says, can you get me a glass of water? Get them a glass of water. If they're too infirm to eat, you feed them. Anything that has to do with giving them food. What else? Malbish u'machasa. You have to dress them and you have to cover them. Machni sumotzi, bring him in the house, take him out of the house. In other words, you have to show positive activities that show respect, that's honor, while reverence means you don't act in a way that detracts from their status that they have. That's, and anything else that is included in that. And certainly, you'll see, I mean, we've seen already, that you don't have to wait to be asked by a parent. It's better for you to anticipate their needs and take care of their needs before they even ask you. So if every day your father comes in and says, can you get my slippers, right? And he's been doing it for a few weeks, the kid should know already, don't wait for the father to ask you for the slippers. Have the slippers ready when he walks in. Things like that. Okay, so that is the mitzvahs you have over there. Okay, it's timely because this week is the Ten Commandments, honoring your parents. Now the Gemara has the following shaila that we already touched on, but now this is the main shaila. Yibaylahal, the Gemara is going to ask a shaila now. The Bryson said you got to supply food and drink. The question is, who pays? Everything, nothing else involves money, but here it's an issue of providing food and drink, and where is that going to come from? We now turn to the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph 32a. So the Braisa asks, the Gemara asks, me shall me. From whose assets are the needs of the parents taken care of? Is the child required to pay it out of his own pocket? Or he just makes the effort, but using their assets to pay for it? Now it's a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, perennial problem. Let's try it again. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishel Ben. It has to come from the son's money. Okay? Now, he has to pay. Now the Chazon Ish adds, this is only if the father doesn't have any of his own money. Obviously, if the father has money, then why does he have to take the kid's money? Right? It doesn't make sense. Like the father will say, listen, I'm hungry, go take me out for dinner. And the father's got $1 million in the bank. He'll say, well, what do I have to spend any money for? God, Dad, you got your own money. So it's obviously only if the father has no money, then the question is, does he have to spend his money or not? So you're going to ask, well, what else do you do? Is he going to starve to death? The answer is, get your father to get money from the communal funds, get tzedakah. That's another option. Father has no money, so who's going to pay for it? Well, so your father's destitute then. Let him go and collect tzedakah money. No. Then Rabbi Yehuda is saying the son has to give the money. Rav Nosson bar Oshaya Omar, Rav Nosson, the son of Oshaya, says, no, Mishalach, it comes from this father. Okay? So it comes out now, if you look at the notes, even if the father does not have any money to support himself, the mitzvah of honoring one's father does not obligate a son to support his father with his own funds. However, there's a mitzvah to give charity to any indigent person. This mitzvah obligates the son to assist his father monetarily. So really, if the kid has money, obviously, it's a moot point. If the child has no money of his own, it's a moot point, because he has nothing to give the father. If the child has, and the father doesn't, the truth is the son's got to give anyway. Now, we're trying to narrow down the machlokas. If the father has his own money, there's no argument. Everyone says the father has to give his own son. Why should the kid give? So machlokas is only if the father does not have money. So now even if the father does not have money, let's talk about the kid. the kid doesn't have money, he obviously can't give either. So it's only when the child has money and the father does not have money. The first rabbi says that it comes from your assets and you have to give your money. The difference is if you're giving your money, but it's not considered your tzedakah money. Because that's part of, that's a separate mitzvah. Just like you have other mitzvahs, you know, doing mitzvahs is expensive. But that doesn't mean it takes out your tzedakah money. You know, you're going to go shopping today to buy kosher meat. Kosher meat, I don't know, probably costs twice as much. I don't know how much more than treif meat. Costs twice as much. You say, okay, I just spent an extra $100 on meat for the family this week. Let me say that that's tzedakah money. You can't, because being Jewish costs money. Tzedakah means, beyond all that, you give a tenth of your money that you make, and that has nothing to do with any mitzvahs that you've done. So, if the first opinion that says that it comes from the son, means the son has to pay his own money to pay for the father's needs, it's not considered his tzedakah money, and then he'd have to give an extra 10% if he has, to give for tzedakah. According to the second opinion, it has to come from the father's funds. Well, again, if the father doesn't have, so what does it mean? So it means that the son has a mitzvah to give charity. So now it can come out of the tzedakah money for it. For otherwise, it doesn't seem to be much of a machlokas. If the father doesn't have, what do you mean it has to come out of the father? Where is it supposed to come from? So I guess it's more to exclude, it's not coming from the son's personal account, but comes from his tzedakah account. That would seem to be the machlokas. Okay, so now we're going to see how people ruled on this. Orulei rabbanan l'Rav Yirmiyah, the rabbis rendered a decision to Rav Yirmiyah, v'amrlei l'brei to Rav Yirmiyah. Some say they rendered a decision to the son of Rav Yirmiyah. Kemanda amr mishel av. The rabbis held like the opinion says, it comes from the father's money. Okay, and not from yours, from the father's assets. And look at the notes. Tosfos, the most sure, accept this as a definitive ruling, even though the Gemara will continue to debate the issue. It's interesting. Once you already said the rabbis ruled to somebody, that seems to be a pretty good way of knowing what the law is. It wasn't one person ruling, it's the rabbis. The rabbis showed their ruling. So therefore, we hold that it comes from the father's assets, and that is the law. That is the law. So if, let's say, a parent has to go to a nursing home, so you use the parent's assets to pay for it and not your assets, because they've got money for it. What happens when they run out of the assets? They used up all the parent's money. I don't know how the nursing homes work. What happens when it goes out? They throw them on the street?
I move them into government.
What? The government pays for them? Maybe the government pays for them then?
Go to a government hospital.
What? Nursing homes. Anyway, then the son would give it through tzedakah. Through his tzedakah money, he could give it. Okay, but we'll see. It's not so simple with that either. Okay, the Gemara is now going to bring proofs to this argument. Even though we have a definitive statement from the rabbis, now the Gemara is going to go back and forth a few times to decide which opinion is correct. May survey the Gemara challenges this ruling. Nemar, we already brought this drasha from before. Nemar, kabeid es avicha simech. It says, honor your father and your mother. The Nemar, we equated this to kabeid es Hashem mehoncha. Honor Hashem from your fortune, from your assets. Earlier we learned this to say, you see that the honoring parents and honoring God is a very similar activity. But here, let's be a little bit more focused. There was a word added here. Honoring Hashem, mehoncha, from your assets. So what does that mean? Like we said, you have to pay money to do mitzvahs. Buying kosher food is honoring Hashem. And that's money you have to pay out of your pocket. You got to buy a lulav, you got to buy an esrog. Judaism, yeah, we had to spend money on fruits last night for Tu B'Shvat. Right? We told the story with the chassid and the rebbe. You know, you have to spend money on this. Okay. So now what do we see? So now there's a comparison. Because by each of them it says, kabeid es, give honor. Give honor to your parents, give honor to God. By God it also adds from your assets. So must be, ma'ala halan, just like by God, b'chasarin kis. It means they have to be willing, it involves a loss of money. That's clearly said by God. We'll make a hekesh in a comparison. Afkan b'chasar and kis. Here too, one's parents has involved, honoring parents involves a loss of money. Ah, so now, and if you're going to be of the opinion of Mishel Av, that when you're honoring your parents, if it costs money, it comes from the father, well, then my nafkalei mina. Then what's the difference to the son? In other words, what financial loss does the son incur? So obviously it's a proof that it's not from the father, but it's from the son, and then you're using your assets. That's a good proof, no? It's coming from the same thing, your assets. So if you're going to tell me it doesn't come from the son, so then how are you comparing it to God? You have to use your assets. The more answers, not so fast. No, you're right, I don't have to take money out of my bank account to feed my father, but does involve libitol melacha, disruption of work. Okay, in other words, you're a lawyer, you make $500 an hour, your father asks you, says, listen, I need you to help me, I need you to take me to the doctor. So now you got some options here. He says, Dad, I'm really busy. So the father says, so what's the big deal? Go get, pay for a taxi for me. But Dad, the law is I don't have to spend my money. I have to spend my money to get you a taxi. The father says, okay, you don't have to spend money, so drive me. Drive me. He says, wait a minute, if I drive you, that's going to take an hour. And I make $500 an hour. I'm going to lose $500. Well, maybe rethink and pay for a taxi instead. In other words, that's the financial. You don't lose cash, but you lose working time, and that can indirectly mean you lose money, right? So if you hold that it comes from the father, not from the son, to that extent, you have to allow that you're not working. So now you are honoring your parents from your assets, not from the cold assets, but the asset of time. And now that could indirectly result in you losing money. So now the son should make up his mind what works out better for him. So you are obliged to spend time to honor your parents as is necessary. So obviously, if your parents need food, you know, and if dad, go use your own money. He says, nah, fine, but I need someone to take me to the grocery store. You know, I don't drive anymore. I don't walk very well. And what if there's no wheel trans or whatever? So I want you to be with me. I want you to go shopping with me. That's part of honoring a parent. You have to go with them. I mean, assuming they're not like being abusive and they can do it themselves and just making you crazy. But assuming that the parents are infirm, it's hard for them to do it. They're afraid someone's going to mug them, whatever. They want to do that. It's going to take an hour. You have to spend time on your parents. It means I'm losing out from working. I'm losing money. Too bad. Now, obviously, you could tell the parents, hey, listen, you got to go shopping today. Okay, I've got clients from 9 to 11. I can pick you up at 11 till 12. The parents say, no, I want to go at 9 to 10 because of the good fruits of the day. You could say, listen, I give you time from 11 to 12. You know, that maybe we could be lenient on. But clearly you see from this, you must take out time from your working day, and that could result in a loss of money, and you have to be willing to absorb that loss.
So did you say that if you're very busy and you earn $500 an hour and you don't have the time, or maybe you could have the time and you just don't want to take away that, so you send them in a taxi at your own expense? You could, or you're not supposed to do that.
You could do that because that's all they need. It depends. If the parent really needs your presence, you know, there's needing your presence and wanting your presence. What if the parent, you know, a taxi isn't a viable option? But if all they really need is the ride, the father, you know, he's a healthy guy, he doesn't drive a car, whatever. He got to an age where they took his license away. You know, it happens. You get to be 80, you know, in the 80s, 90s, you know, if you don't pass the test, you could still be a fairly healthy person, but you just can't drive anymore. So now you need the kid to take you. He says, listen, Dad, I'll get a taxi for you. So now, although you're not obliged to pay for the taxi, you are obliged to give your father the ride. So now if you don't want to give the father the ride, you want to spend the money to give him the ride, then certainly you can spend the money and get the taxi for him. Unless they're insistent that it has to be your presence. You know, because but again, there's a fine line between needs and abuse. Because their parents, you know, that's how you get these old guys who never get married, right? The parents get old, He's the son, right? You see these stories? I don't know if it happens anymore, but in the old days it happened, right? The daughter's got to get married, and the eldest son had to make sure the parents were taken care of, and the parents were infirm, and the kid was born late in life. So you see these 40, 50-year-old guys who never got married. Why? Because my mother needed me. But that was so crazy, where really the parents really were quite manipulative and kind of abused their rights as being parents. So obviously there's a line to be drawn. But clearly, even this opinion that says that we hold like that, it comes from the father, and you don't have to pay, but time you have to pay, even if that costs you. Okay, so we knocked out that proof. Next proof. Tashma. Come and hear the following Brisa that says the Beis Achim, two brothers, or Shnei Shutfim, or two partners, but the part that we are interested in, or Ha'avu Beno, or a father and his son, or Harav Etalmido, or a rabbi, a teacher and his disciple, what are they able to do? Now this is a little bit of shtick, okay, but it's technically legal. Obviously these people are close to each other and they have vested interests in the success of the other person. So sometimes you can, as they say, go into cahoots with somebody and benefit from it, and there's nothing illegal about what's going to happen, although it might not be the spirit of the law, but certainly the letter of the law you have not violated. Let's see what's going on over here. The first thing is not the main point, but the second thing is now. So let's briefly do the first one. I don't want to spend too much time on this because this is not relevant to the question. But it says, Podim zelazem meiser sheni. They can redeem from each other meiser sheni. Now, we know that in the 7-year Shemitah cycle, every first, second, fourth, and fifth year, 1/10 of your crops must be taken to Jerusalem to be eaten. Alright? Now, if it's too many crops to take to Jerusalem, too much to schlep, you can redeem. Those crops first are holy. They're holy to the extent you have to take them to Jerusalem and eat them or give it to people. It's gotta be in Jerusalem. What if it's too many crops for you to carry? Then you are permitted to redeem it, but you gotta add a surcharge. 25% to the price. Right? So now, and you're redeeming it. So you gotta pay 25%. But what if somebody else will redeem it? What if he will buy it from you? And that way effectively redeem it. So guess what? There's no surcharge.
We did this Monday with Mordecai.
There's no surcharge. The guy says, how much are the crops worth? $1,000. Okay, I'll give you $1,000 for it. I'll buy it from you. I'll redeem it from you. Now, and now you've got the $1,000, and take the $1,000 to Yerushalayim. Alright? Up in the kiln, you don't have anybody, you gotta redeem it yourself, then it becomes $1,250. Alright? So it would be a good idea for people to try to get other people, but it's hard to trust other people. You know? It could be different, but what if these are people you're very close with, like a father and son or things like this? So let's look at the bottom paragraph. The Bryce said teaches that even if the redeemer is closely related to the owner of the produce, he does not have to add a surcharge. For example, we do not say that since the son loves his father and normally supplies his food, redeeming his father's produce would be tantamount to redeeming produce of his own and would require a surcharge, which you say, no, even though the son might do it anyway, but no surcharge. So it's a way of getting out of the law. It is, strangers can do it, so why should a child lose out from it? Okay, that's one thing, but that's not the part that's relevant to our Shiloh. The next part is the relevant part to the Shiloh. There's a second type of Miser that's given in the third and sixth year of the cycle. Instead of Miser Shani, it's called Miser Ani. You have to give 1/10 of your crops to the poor. Aha! So they said, you're going to give it to the poor, but wait a minute, maybe there's some people I have a very close relationship and I would like to designate them as the poor person. So now, umachilin ze'ezeh, one can feed to the other, Meister Shani, the second type, the Meister Shani. So now, if your father is poor enough, if he's a rich man, you can't give him the Meiser Ani. It's for the poor. But let's say your father or your teacher, whatever, is poor enough to qualify for this welfare grant, right? So the son can take that Meiser Ani money that he's supposed to give the tenth to go to the poor, and he can use it to take care of his father, even though he has an obligation to take care of his father anyway. Now, let's think about this. Which opinion would this be a question upon? The opinion that says that you have to use your own money to take care of your father, or only your father's money? Which one will it be a question on?
Only your father's.
Your money.
Which one do you think? I got two different opinions on the table here.
Your father's money.
One would be a question. Be a question. If your father's money, then, well, if I don't have an obligation, then if my father is poor, then why can't I give it to him? But if I have to use my own money,
well, you get two for one.
That's my obligation. What? That's nothing to do with tzedakah. As he says, Ve'i amrit mishel ben. If you say the obligation is the son has to pay his own money, well, what's coming out over here? Nimtza comes out, Zepareachovo mishel anim. He is paying out his debt out of the funds of the poor. So what's really up? The poor are losing. You, as I said, you can't kill two birds with one stone in Judaism. If you already have an obligation to spend your money to take care of your father, regardless of anything else, what are you doing? You're in fact taking money away from the poor. Right? Let's take a look at those. If a son is biblically obligated to support his father with his own assets, how can he use money that is designated for the poor to pay the debt he owes his father? This would be the equivalent of paying one's personal debt to a poor person with miser ani. Right? Certainly one cannot use money earmarked as a gift to the poor to satisfy one's personal debts. Right? Now, if however, let's look at the other opinion though. However, only the father's assets need be used to provide for his needs. The son's only obligation to provide for his impoverished father is a function of the mitzvah of charity, according to that other opinion. The Brisa would then be teaching that this can be done even for one's father with miser ani. So it seems to be a proof, what? That you don't have to spend your money for keep it up, eh? Right? And now, if I want to use my money for tzedakah to my father, I could give him the miser ani, because now I'm not discharging a previous obligation of using my money for my father. You see the proof?
Wait a second. If the father had assets to provide for his needs, then how are you...
Let's say the father doesn't have assets.
No, but in the second part there...
No, it says only the father's assets need be used, but he doesn't have any assets. In other words, it's saying, it means as opposed to the son does not have to use his assets. If we say the father's assets have to be used, so if the father has no assets, then if the son gives him, it says charity. I know you're asking, the father has assets, why does he get miser ani? That's what you're asking, right?
Yeah.
But we're saying, it doesn't mean that if he has assets, it means it's the father's assets and not the son. So if the father doesn't have assets, the son does not have to give him from his personal assets per se. It only comes out of the son's tzedakah account. You understand what's going on here? When the Gemara says it's from the father's assets, it means more so, not from the son's assets. There's a mitzvah of honoring a father. Here's the question. Does the mitzvah of honoring the father mean that that the son's assets have to be liable to perform that mitzvah or not? That's the real machlokas. There's a lot of things you got to do to honor your father. Do you have to spend money to honor your father? One says yes, one says no. The no opinion, what it really means to say is, only use your father's assets. Anu betocha shiur. Anu betocha shiur afshav. Who wrote Zalul Motor afshav? To mafriyo to. Ata lo mafriyo to. Afshav ata mafriyo kol ha-shiur. Kechake. Okay. Ani atocha shev so unu Torah tever chashuv, lo? Lo chashuv. Okay. Okay. So anyway, so what we're saying is if it's from your father's assets, it means, yeah, really, if your father has money, he should be paying his assets. What if your father doesn't have money? Well, it's still, the mitzvah of honoring my father does not come from my assets. All right, but your father has the money, you're going to let him die? No. Now I have another mitzvah. A mitzvah of charity comes into play. So in other words, like I said, either way the son's got to give, but here's the difference. Can I use my tzedakah money? This is the same point. We're saying you could use your miser ani to give it to your father, right? Give my son his money. What's going on? Give it to your father. They're not giving it to your father. I have an obligation for the mitzvah. If you say, I have an obligation to use my own money to honor my father, how can I use charity money for that? So it would make more sense to say the other opinion. So what are you going to do? If you're going to say it's, if it's from the son's responsibility, how can he use that to discharge the debt? How can he do that? So he says, hold on. It means like this. No. The Brisa is needed to teach that, you know, you have the basics and then you have the excess. You have the bare bones and then you have a little better. You know, what's bare bones? Bread and water. Well, how about a piece of fish? Like, you know, how far does it go? So it's saying the Brisa is needed to teach us that for the father's excess needs, you could still use miser on it. In other words, for the basic, when you say that you have to use your own money for your father's needs from Kibbutz Avayim, that's for the basics. But if you give better than the basics, the mitzvah Kibbutz Avayim doesn't require me to give him more than the basics. However, when we give anim, interestingly, he's going to suggest that an ani, you can fulfill money giving an ani even if you give him more than the basics. So I can use my, a little more, if I've covered the basics from my own personal money to the mitzvah Kibbutz Avayim, but I'd like my father a little bit more, I can now use my appropriated or designated miser ani money to give it to my father to give him the excess. Which is interesting. That means to say that although the father is not starving now, he's still an ani. That's what that opinion will say. Okay? That's what it says. Even according to the view that the son's assets are used to support the father, the mitzvah of honoring him requires the son to provide only for ordinary needs. The Gemara concedes that the son cannot absolve himself of that obligation with protos of miser. Ani, you can't use miser ani for the basics, but the Brisa teaches that the father has extra needs for more than ordinary amount of food, which the son has no obligation to use that extra money for the miser sheni, for the miser ani. Wait a minute, that's the answer. Okay, wait a minute. If that's going to be that the Brisa is talking to the father's extra requirements, hainu diktani Allah, this following statement is a statement that was taught on this Brisa. There's the Brisa, and now a rabbi came along and made a statement. Based on your answer, this statement that Gemara says on it doesn't make sense. What's the statement? Yes, you want to give Amar Rabbi Yehuda. We're saying you could give your Maaser unto your father. Rabbi says you can, but look at this. Tavo Me'era L'misha Machas of Mashen. Let a curse come upon the man who gives Maaser unto his father, because you're now making your father a poor man. Now that makes sense if you say that is what? That you're giving him mamish what he needs to eat. But if you're now saying it's the extra, what kind of curse is you giving the extra? The ilah hadafah. But if you're telling me, it's only talking about you giving the extra, the ma'inaf gamina, what does it matter that it's not such a terrible thing? He's already taking care of the basics. Moore says, you know what? Not true. Afilahachi, still in all, zeal by medicine, it is still denigrating. Even if you give your father extra, but it's still included in charitable money, even though it's not the basics, that's still a terrible thing to do for a father.
What we learned at the beginning of this?
That's what I spoke out. Yeah. So it's gonna come out that since we hold at the end of the day what? That it does not have to come from your assets, we're gonna pass on like the Chachamim, that it does not come out of your assets. So therefore, what you could use tzedakah money for it, you could, according to the law, but a curse will come onto you for doing that. I mean, it's a bad thing that you're using that kind of money. Now, again, it depends on the situation. If the son is not that wealthy to begin with, and he doesn't have the money to give his father from his own personal, and then to give tzedakah as well, he doesn't have the money, okay, he'll give the tzedakah. But clearly one should not initially use the tzedakah money for that purposes. Okay, we didn't finish the whole sugya, but we're almost done.